They said, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. They existed because you created what you pleased." And then last week, I finished with the story from 2 Chronicles, verse 20. You heard, you know, King Jehoshaphat had three different nations that came to attack Israel. And he went in prayer mode, asking God, "Come on, Lord, how come you're not delivering us?" And God says, okay, a prophet spoke up saying, "This is what we want you to do. The next day, I want you to grab the musicians, get the Levites, sing praise to the Lord." And you know what happened? There was, I asked you to read it. I don't know if you did, but what happened, God gave them victory. But before they even went to war, God says, "Don't worry, the battle is the Lord. Sing unto the Lord." That's why I tell you, when you don't feel like singing, sing praise to the Lord. When you don't feel like worshiping, I tell you, your song is your weapon. You know, singing is another form of prayer. Singing is another way you pray. So you don't know how to pray? Sing. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. For our God is greater. Our God, you are higher than you're going on your walk. God, you are higher than any. You cannot carry a tune. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. I told you already. Singing is another way you pray. You praise God. And the more you sing, actually, and sing songs that are match or sing songs that are from the Word of God, the more you will know God's Word. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. He leads me to green meadows. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you feel like right now you're walking in the shadow, in the valley of shadow of death. But what do? You're going on your walk. You say, "Do I walk in the shadow?" Do you know God is waiting for you to come in line with His Word to make things happen? Did you know that? Let me remind you that God is waiting for you and I to come in line with His Word, to get your mind in line with His Word. That's why the enemy doesn't want us to know God's Word. He wants us to complain. He wants us to come in worship. I tell you, when you come in worship, corporate worship, you do not come here for us to entertain you. Dan is not an entertainer. We are not entertainers. I don't know. Is that how you say it? Doesn't matter. We're not here to entertain you. When we want to entertain you, we will have a concert, right, Dan? We'll get a concert together. You know? But we're not here to entertain you. The responsibility we have as worshipers or worship leaders to prepare for the worship does not just fall on us. If you forgot about this, let me remind you that you, as God's sons and daughters, you do have a responsibility. You should all come to the house of worship prepared. Now, what does that mean? I come prepared. When you come here, when you came here this morning, or maybe you're watching online, what's your expectation? Did you come to the altar with a sacrifice of worship? That's why I tell you, sometimes you tell the enemy, "Get away from me, Satan," because what? He's just condemning you. Oh, you don't have the right. You can't stand before the Lord. Oh, you're not worthy enough. You're not worthy enough. You know, you can't sing. You can't do this. Anybody dealt with that? I do. Oh, I mean, if you don't, glory to God, praise God for you. I mean, it's like sometimes the enemy is like, "Come on, you can't do it. You know, you this, you that." Just a bunch of negative thoughts. But thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, that through the Holy Spirit, I can rebuke him through the power of Christ and the blood. So when we come together, we should all come to the house of the Lord prepared, whether you're singing, teaching, preaching, speaking, prophesying, what Melissa did this morning, whatever you're doing, or you're just sitting here. We're not here to entertain you. This is not a consumer mindset church. Every member is a, what's the word? Every member is a worker, not a worker. Is a what?
Contributor.
But we do have it on our book. Every is a participant, not a anyhow. We do have that restoration book, who we are. It's in there. It's like every believer is a minister. This is it. Every believer is a minister. So you come to minister to the presence of God. You are here to minister to the presence of God. That's it. You're not here for me to entertain you. You come here to encourage me as well. But we all, you know, we deal with stuff. That's why Kendra said it, and I'm going to enforce it. Do not forsake the assembly of the saints. Come together. So we do have a responsibility. When we come together as God's children to give him what? To give him glory, honor, thanks, and maybe fall down. Get on your knees. Now, this is what the word says. So if you're looking for a pattern of how to worship God, sometimes I ask people, what should you look for in a church? You know, I mean, I know some people, certain people, they like, you know, they don't like drums, they don't like that stuff. Well, there's plenty different church out there. And it's all good, all right? Find a church that doesn't do drum, but make sure whatever they do through their worship has those three elements. I'm reading Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. When they all come together, what happened? They give glory, honor, and thanks. So it wasn't a service where someone's making a name for themselves. It wasn't a service someone is just stealing the show from God. God, when the Son of Man is lifted up, that's it. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he draws all heart to himself. And my prayer, our goal is that when everybody comes here, Son, King Jesus is so honored, is so glorified, that he draws all heart to what? To himself. Because it is only Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit that can save us, deliver us. So last week, I talk about many different ways when I read the psalm, you can worship God. One of the first one was Yadao. Yadao was the verb from the Greek. I'm not going to go stay on it. This today, it talks, Yadao means extend your hands, to throw out your hands. Therefore, to worship God with extending hands. Psalm 9, it says, I will worship you, Yahweh, with extend hands, with my whole heart. So extend your hands. Lift up your hands, okay? Psalm Yadao express praise. You do something when you worship. And I challenge you, raise your hands before God. I encourage you, when you come to worship, lift up your hands. But maybe some of you might, you're going to feel uncomfortable because you've never raised your hands. But guess what? When you worship, the Bible says, I worship God with my hands raised. Worship God like that. That's the Bible. Okay? There's another word. Psalm 63 verse 4. It says, I will bless the Lord while I live. The word, I will praise the Lord. I will lift up my hands. The word that translates lifting up is Yadao. Okay? There are other references. For example, Psalm 134, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, all you his servant, you who minister in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise God. Lift up your hands. Take pleasure in lifting up your hands. Psalm 141, verse 2 says, may my prayers be set before you like incense. Burn incense. May my prayers. What does that mean? You sing. I told you. Singing is another form of prayer. You can do warfare in prayer, in singing. You can do a lot of different. You can do prayer of consecration. Consecration. That's in English. That makes sense? Yeah. You concentrate yourself. You consecrate yourself. You're dedicating yourself to God. Okay? So today I want to talk about another one we find in the Greek is todao. The definition of todao comes from the same principal word or from the same root word that translated hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I mean a shout of victory. Come, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Anybody loves to shout hallelujah? I know some. Yes, come on, I invite you. You shout hallelujah. You know, when we get to a place of praise, we shout. Can you help me out? Can we all say hallelujah? Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah! Yes, hallelujah! I mean, do you feel something in your heart? You feel something in your spirit? When you shout, that's todao. What does it mean? It means you make a shout. You shout in worship. You shout in adoration. You confess openly. In French, they call that avouer. Openly. You say, you know what? You see Aaron, man? I like this guy. I love Aaron. What am I saying? Publicly. Loud. I'm making it known that I like him. You see, now, this mindset for the rest of the year, this is a very foundational teaching we find in Revelation chapter 4. The way worship and praise happen in heaven. There's no shame. I know some people, they say, well, other people mix their emotions in it. There's another word. We learn from the Greek. It's halal, which means to celebrate, to clamorously foolishly worshiping God. So I didn't think about it. Now the thought crossed my mind. Right now I need a cue, my musician, to just play something. And then I was like, you know, dancing. Praise the Lord, you know. Can you imagine David walking in? Oh, Jesus, look what you've done for me. Look what you've done for me. Oh, my God is greater. Oh, my God is stronger. God, you are. What am I doing? You might think I'm foolish. You might think, man, this guy, David's wife looked down on him. Says, look, come on, you're a king, man. What are you doing? You are a king. You shouldn't be taking your shirt off. But David had the revelation of halal, but to praise God, how to praise God. I pray as I prepare this and I read this, I pray over it. I said, God, you bring a revival in our mindset in Restoration Church. When it comes to praise, you're not weird. Listen, I'm not weird if I'm praising God, you know, clamorously. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Hey. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I know some of you might not do this, might not be able to do it. But you got the idea. God come and dwell in the praises of his people. I told you last week, the more I studied these Greek words, I realized God come and pray and sits and dwell in the praise of his people. And the type of praise is the praise that the people are just delighting themselves in the Lord. What do you take delight in? I told you last week, I love to watch the game, football or soccer. And when your team's winning. We were watching the final with my son-in-law, and he's a fan of Argentina. When France was winning, he got very quiet. And we were just making fun of him, you know, just giving him a hard time. And then penalty kick, man, guys, you should have seen him. The guy just, like, threw himself up, you know. It's like he's just rolling on the floor, clamorously, foolishly celebrating Argentina. And we think, God is such a boring God. When we come together, we can't have fun. That's why I keep telling them. I said, man, it's, for us playing here, it's got to be fun. God is not boring. And we're not boring as well, either. We're not. But sometimes our mindset. You see, when you study the word, you realize when we come together, we come to enjoy Abba. Todau and Yalau. You know, Todau mean what? To praise him. It's the same word. Praise him loud. Hallelujah. I encourage you, shout hallelujah at home. In your car. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And see, when you sing that, you're not being weird. You're not being charismatic. You know the word. You know, some people, they just grew up like that because, you know, you read the Bible, you read, and you understand. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, yes, God is good. What am I doing right now? I'm praising God. You think, man, you don't have words? It's so simple. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Come, Lord Jesus. Come on, I need somebody else. I need you to, you know, train somebody else. Help me out. We all say, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We shout. They're like, man, these people, they're so loud. Now, let me balance what I'm saying. There is order in the house of God. There is order. There is a time where we all are celebrating. But there is a time when I say, okay, God bless you, everybody. Everybody must shut up. Because the spirit of the prophet submit to the prophet. So, if you are rejoicing, you are clamorously praising the Lord. And then we're just enjoying, we're just having a good time in our Father. There's joy in the house. You know, we're dancing, you know, everybody, the atmosphere is light. And then, of course, you know, all right, let's sit down. Okay, I come up here and I say, all right, God bless kingdom. Greetings, everybody. God bless you. And you're still out there doing hallelujah. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be Sam. Come on, take him out there for me, please. That's order. That's why other people judge. You think, well, these people, they're a bunch of, they don't have discipline. See, the Spirit of God is a spirit of discipline. But because we lack discipline or we lack self-control, help me out. Self-control. Everybody say self-control. Self-control. Because the Spirit of God gives you the ability to control yourself. The Holy Spirit is not like Ogufera. Ogufera is a spirit, evil spirit in Haiti that come and possessed you. What they do, Ogufera would come and possess somebody and they get them to climb a tree. And they put them way up there. And then the spirit would leave that person. See, that's what the spirit of Satan, that's what it does. It caused you to do things and then he left you in your mess. And he's like, I got him. God's not like that. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not like that. The Spirit of God doesn't come and possess us. He gives us the will. That's why the Holy Spirit will never come and possess you like, hey, lift up your hands. Never. It's going to leave you with your will. You want to praise God the way you want to do it? That's exactly why I say here in this church, we don't put God in a box. We don't put the Holy Spirit in a box. If you want to come here as we're leading, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are high, and you feel like you want to do this, other, our God is healer. Seriously, God, I thank you for a drummer and for the day I can come do this. Because sometimes I'm playing the drums, it's just so good, man. But you know what I want to do? I want to be here. I'm going to do this. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. That's me, okay? I'm not asking you to do this. That's right. See, that's me. Because that's the way I feel like I want to clamorously praise my God. There is no condemnation in God's presence. Somebody else might feel, you know what? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. The other person might be like, our God is healer, awesome in power. And then me, I'm down here. Our God. Our God. It doesn't matter. It's all good. You see what religion does to us? It messed up our mindset. We think, oh man, this person, what I told you last week, this person is really, oh man, he's just like in seventh heaven worshiping God because he's just like this crying. And the other person is standing like that. Because of a lack of teaching, God's people is perishing. And then you have religion, or the way you grew up, because sometimes the way we grew up mess up with our mind. There's a group in Haiti. Even I grew up like that too. You never say you saved. I remember the day I was delivered from that. Are you saved? I don't know. Somebody would be like, are you saved? Before 1996, someone would ask me, are you saved? Yeah, I'm trying, you know. I'm working at it. I'm working at saving, being saved. You don't get it. I hope everybody here knows you're either saved or you're not. If you're still working at it, you need to come and kneel before the cross, confess Jesus is your Lord, believe him in your heart. Because the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you are sons and daughters of God. You either know you're saved or you're not. It's simple. You know? Now, if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and then you backslid, or you're not living a life for Christ, well, then you know the answer. You're either living in the light or you're living in darkness. I'm going to finish with this, another story. Acts chapter 14. Let's go there. And then we'll continue next week. Acts 16, actually. Paul and Silas in prison. Okay. Now, when I read this story this week, I realize none of us have never been in such terrible situation. One day, as we were going down in the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. That's Acts chapter 16, verse 17 now. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, see, this is where the spirit of discernment kicked in. Because what she was saying was right, but the time and the moment she was saying it would contribute to their death, maybe, at the time. Because at the moment, that's not what they wanted to hear. Paul and Silas. Verse 19. Her master, so Paul commended the spirit I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Verse 19. Her master's hope of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city council officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. Now, I want you to think about that a little bit. Beaten. 40, what is it? 40 plus 1. That's what 40 plus 1 beaten. Severely. None of us had experienced that. Kendra read this morning what our brothers and sisters are going through in Ukraine. Do you know the thing that really encourages me is how much they are still praising God? So you think, oh, life is so hard. You think, oh, man, I got the weight of the world on my shoulders. Oh, man, oh, poor me. Oh, man, I'm so sad. I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so. Let me tell you this. You haven't experienced anything yet. You're not running for your life. We all have good beds. We all have warm house. We all have more than we deserve. And then you're allowing your soul to downcast. You're allowing your soul to tell you how miserable you are. If you want to experience God at another level, I am encouraging you to bring the level up of worship. Focus on who God is. Praise Him no matter what. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Worship God. Verse 24. Verse 23. They were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they did not escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Now I want you to imagine this with me for a minute. Beaten, dragged. Not only they were put in jail, but in the inner cell, way down there were rats, mice, you name it. And there were other prisoners. And back in those days, they had one bucket, and that's in that bucket, that's where everybody did their thing. So can you imagine the smell with me for a minute? Most of us don't want to. Around midnight. And they put their feet. In stocks. But around midnight, I love Paul. This week, if you feel discouraged, this is your formula. This is your recipe. This is the prescription I'm giving you. You go try it. Around midnight, how tough can life get right here? You tell me. What are they doing? They're singing what? Oh, Lord, my God, this is my soul, my say. I can imagine Silas don't know how to sing. Saul is singing in G, Silas in A flat. And Saul is like, this is my, then sing my soul, my Savior God through thee. Come on, Silas, help me out. How great thou art. How great thou art. And then right there. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great. How great thou art. How great. How great thou art. How great. You know, they can't move. How great thou art. Oh, my God is great. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. Oh, Jesus, oh, you are so good. Can you imagine this? Most of us can't. But I want you to go home with this. In the middle of what they're going through, they start singing. Then what happened? Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. Would you like to see a massive earthquake in your situation? I do. Yeah, there are certain situations in your life, it needs a massive earthquake, spiritual earthquake. Would you like to see a massive earthquake in your children's life? I'm not saying the earthquake that would kill him. I'm in this verse, a spiritual awakening. That's what I'm talking about. But the enemy, that's why I said last week, the enemy wants us to focus on our issues. The enemy doesn't want us to delight ourselves in the Lord. The enemy wants to make you so busy, tired, you don't even want to come together. But I want you to see this right now in Acts chapter 16. What other situation can you compare this in your life? Can you compare this in your life? None of us has ever been beaten. None of us has ever been putting into the dungeon, put our feet in stocks. The enemy wants to rob you from your praise, from praising God. I'm challenging you today, do not let him. Do not let him rob you from praising God, from keeping the word of God in your mouth. Read the Psalms. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake. And then the prison was shaking to its foundations. And all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoners. Let me tell you this. God so much wants to deliver you that even people around you will experience that deliverance. God wants to set you free. There are certain people that will never experience freedom until you start walking in your freedom. God wants to set you free so you could set others free. Come on, guys. I tell you, there are certain people in your life that will never experience freedom until you enter your freedom. You've been in church for 20 years. Who are you discipling? You've been in church for 15 years. Who can call you a spiritual father, a spiritual mother? And this question is not to condemn you. It's to tell you the enemy wants us to keep us. The enemy wants us to remain baby Christians. The enemy wants us to remain a complainer. The enemy never wants us to grow in maturity. Because when you grow in maturity, you will be able. You'll be able to create such atmosphere. Because when you find yourself in situation that's just draining you, instead of focusing on your situation. Can you imagine Paul? Paul could right there. Silas, of course, is not as mature as Paul. So can you imagine with me for a minute? The both of them are talking. And Silas is like, Paul, man, what a beating. Paul, I told you, we shouldn't be coming here. Can you imagine? But they weren't talking about their situation. Paul starts singing. Bible says they were singing praise. And then the foundation of the prison shook. And that's my challenge for you today. As you go home this week, I am encouraging you. Sing praise. Verse 29, the jailers called for light and went into the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, Sir, What must I do to be saved? You see, God wants you to experience him to the level where others would ask, what must I do? There is a level you are growing in God. I tell you, ask yourself. And even for your friends. If you're friends with non-believers and you're not challenging, your lifestyle is not challenging them, you go to God, ask him, talk to him about it. Because the presence of God in you should either convince them, three things, convince them, make them uncomfortable, or cause them to ask you, why you always have peace? Because you are a follower of Christ, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be friends with non-believers. Or, as a matter of fact, you should be their friend. But, your lifestyle, your light will shine in their darkness. And as a matter of fact, those three things would happen. This is right here. What must I do to be saved? Right there, the guy experienced heaven in the prison. What did Paul say? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. So your homework this week, read Acts chapter 15 and 16. Because 15 will give you a good idea what's happening. And then you can read the rest. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word today, Lord. God, we take our weapon back. And I make that declaration for your sons and your daughters. Praise is our weapon. Worshiping you in heaven. Father, I pray that you open our eyes so we could see the things that are just stealing this weapon. God, I pray as we worship you, people in our lives would experience the earthquake, the divine earthquake that we talk about. Lord, thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.